I'm no different, man. Listen, my success and where I am today is all attributed to my best friend finally sitting down listening to me when no one else would. And that turned my life around. It really did, because I was on a path where I was drinking, I was reckless, I was angry, I wasn't happy because of, what was happening with my life. And it turned it around just because one person decided to lean in and say, "Hey, man, let's talk about this. What's really going on?"
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. New episode, new review, baby, and this one's from Stacy Duckett. Oh, wait a second, this name sounds familiar. I believe she's Dr. Stacy Duckett, who actually guested on this podcast, but she left a review as a listener. And it's a 5-star review titled, "Going North Podcast is a Must Listen!" Exclamation mark. Dom is a unique style of interviewing unlike any others. Because of this unique style, his podcast stands out. A must listen to learn about so many other ideas from amazing authors and learn yourself how to be original, especially if you're thinking of having your own podcast. Well, thanks, Dr. Stace, for leaving that review. Appreciate you for listening, guesting, and then listening again to the magical show. Appreciate you and appreciate all you in the future who decide to leave a review about the podcast and let us know what you like about the show. So if you got something you like about the show, let us know by leaving a review and we'll highlight it in a future episode. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, my friends. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat. That's right indeed. You think a show that's interviewed hundreds and hundreds of authors, you think you'd run out of first time things. Well, you're going to be in for a treat that's definitely good enough to eat, because there's still a lot of firsts out there, folks, because today's wonderful, wonderful New York Times bestselling author is a father, a husband, a U.S. Army veteran, motivational speaker, actor, as well as the season 13 winner of Dancing with the Stars. You're that right, folks. We got the winner from season 13, a first for the freaking podcast, y'all. That's right indeed. So let's give it up for good old J.R. Martinez. How you doing today, J.R.?
I feel like this is when you pump in like the old school, like the fake applause and clapping and stuff. I feel like that was just about to go down. I was like, either he really has an audience or he has the button from the 50s. He has the button. No, man, appreciate you for having me. That was a great introduction, man. I really appreciate it. You got like this cool, like soothing vibe voice. Like it's like this cool thing you got going on, man. I think you probably have heard that before, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And especially like, I don't know if people are able to see this on video, but you got the mic and you got that whole vortex thing going on. It kind of like keeps this mystery going on, man. Like your voice, and it's like, who is this dude? I only see like your neck up, and I don't even know. You could be like a robot from the shoulders down. Like, I mean, I don't know, but you got like this, got this cool vibe, man. So I appreciate you creating some space for me on your pod and allow me to connect with your audience and yourself as well. So it's a pleasure to be here, man. Appreciate that.
Hey, my pleasure indeed, man. It's honored to have you, man. Like, dude, wonderful service man who was able to turn his pain into power, and heck, even you have fun. Well, I wouldn't say fun enough, but it's actually awesome though, because since you're in the 101st Airborne Division, my father, he was in the 82nd Airborne Division, so got a soft spot for the veterans, especially those who were in the airborne.
Yeah, well, listen, don't, I mean, is your dad still with us?
Nah, sadly he passed. Wow. Yes, 7 years ago. Oh, to this day, okay. Actually. Wow. Okay. Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yes, yeah, 7. Yeah, 7 years ago to this day. Yeah. Who would have?
Oh, wow.
Forgot about that.
Well, the reason I was asking is because I was gonna say, don't tell him that you interviewed the 101st guy, because even though 82nd Airborne, 101st Airborne, even though we're within the same branch, the Army, Man, 82nd and 101st, they go after each other nonstop. They're like, well, we're, you got, they call us, because we're, 101st is called the Screaming Eagles. They call us the Screaming Chickens. Listen, there's just a bunch of names that we start calling each other, man. And it really, you know, and that was probably the first thing that I realized when I joined the military. It really is like a family. And, you know, you hear that soundbite all the time about, you know, vets talking about how they miss it, the camaraderie, but it really is like a family. And the most basic way that it's like a family, I mean, think about the holidays when family gets together, man, you guys start cracking on each other. You guys start, you know, digging up old stuff. I mean, you guys start going at one another. And when you start bringing somebody new to the family, to the Thanksgiving dinner or to Christmas or whatever holiday it is, and then they're sitting there, they're like, yo, you guys really love each other? Because you guys are going at one another. And it's like, no, this is how we show love to one another. And that's the military, man. And I remember when I was 19 years old, when I deployed, I remember being around a couple of different branches and in the chow hall of all places in the middle of the desert. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, yo, these dudes are going at one another. And I'm thinking to myself, I thought the enemy was this other person. Are these people the enemy? And then my sergeant was like, nah, man, we just love to talk shit and give each other a hard time. And it's just the way it is. And, you know, and you clown on the Air Force, you clown on the Marines, you clown on the Navy, the Coast Guard doesn't even exist. You know, like, then you got space, you know, SpaceX now, Space Force, and you got all these dudes like, and so, but it's like everyone gets clowned on, but at the end of the day, we all understand and know every person, every branch, every job brings a value, is an asset, and they have a critical role to play in a mission of trying to survive whatever the mission may be and accomplish it. And I think that's true for any organization, right? Whether it's an organization of just you and your kid, or you and your spouse, or you and your partner, or you and, you know, a business, you know, partner, or if you happen to be part of an organization that's you and 50 people, you and 500 people, you and 5 million people, whatever, like at the end of the day, it's everyone has to embrace their role. And, you know, and I think there's not enough people that are willing to embrace the role that they play. They have ambitions, and that's fine to want to be the big dog, to want to be that person that does X, Y, and Z. And that's fantastic to have that ambition. But where are you right now? And I think that honesty is what we're lacking, and honesty with ourselves. Like, we don't need other people. I mean, other people are going to be honest with you and whatever, but you be honest with yourself as well. Where am I? Am I really ready? And that was something I didn't learn how to do until I got older in life, man. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I wanted so badly to be this person that was going to be able to go out and share and speak. And then, you know, it didn't happen the way I wanted it to. And then when in my 30s, when things started popping off, and I was like, ah, here we go. I really reflected and realized that as bad as I wanted it in my 20s, I wasn't ready for it. So I was only ready for the amount that I actually had the opportunity to do. But I had that ambition. And so anyways, man, I just got on a rant right now about, I don't, God knows what, but I think that's something that a lot of people were missing. A lot of people just, you know, and I coach, I have two kids. You mentioned father. I have an 11-year-old and she plays select softball and I coach her. And listen, that's a conversation I'm having with my kids all the time in regards to, like, you're not this power hitter. Or you're not this right now. Right now, you are not that athlete. This is how you contribute to this team and own that role. And if you want to be something else, then continue to work towards that. And you will become, you could become that. But right now, own where you are and own that you're a part of something that's pretty special.
Yeah, you're so right about that, my man. You're so right about that. Indeed, I think the way things are built right now, folks, you hear the word GOAT thrown around so many times, like, oh yeah, they're the GOAT, the greatest of all time. It's like, dude, it's like, if someone's truly the GOAT, that means there's only one real GOAT. And it's like, dude, like, they had to sacrifice a lot to get there, and they didn't get there overnight. Like a lot of folks who get called GOATs, like, especially during their formative years, heck, even Steph Curry, I think I remember, I think it was Adam Grant's Hidden Potential, where they mentioned a story how Steph Curry had to get a shooting coach, even though his dad played in the NBA and everything. They add another layer to his game and help him to polish his skills. Like, the Steph Curry today wasn't the Steph Curry that was in high school. Same with Michael Jordan, yeah, the rest of them. Like, hey, they had to go through that development phase. And it's good that you actually mentioned that, because we really want everything now. It's like, hey, let me get all the social media followers, all the millions of dollars, like the family, like tell people, hey, this is how you can improve your life right now. It's like, hey, don't worry. I'm like, my life sucks now, but don't worry, your life will suck less. Like, all that stuff that we want. It's like, yeah, we kind of have to go through our own metaphorical desert, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting, you know, you know when you talked about, like, everybody wanted, you know, instantly the money, the followers, you know, I find myself caught up in that trap. And I think that's why you got to eventually get to a point where you surround yourself with some grounded people that always check you. And, you know, from a social media standpoint, you know, listen, I was a dude that at the height of my career, man, I was everywhere. I mean, Dancing with the Stars, I mean, there was 20 million people tuning into that show every single night. I mean, that's incredible, the access to people that I had. But social media wasn't around. So I didn't get the opportunity to truly benefit from all of those people watching the show. And so for years, and I'm 40 years old, and so for years, I just kind of, like, social media, it's like a thing. I just, you know, mess around with it, have fun with it. No big deal. No real emphasis on it's a business. And over the last couple of years, you know, I've had people like, hey, you really got to put more attention to social media. You know, it's going to help you this, this, and this. And so you fall into that trap and you're like, all right, cool. And then the trap becomes where you're posting a piece of content, and then, like, 2 hours later, you're like, how many people liked it? You know, how many people viewed it? Oh, okay. Ah, okay. 4 hours later, man, okay, only 5,000 people viewed it. Only 2,000 people liked it. Oh, man, God, that's horrible. Okay, I got to do something better. I got to do something bigger. And then somebody on my team was like, yeah, but really think about that. Like, if you got 500 people that liked it, 700 people that liked it, 100 people that liked it, think about that. That's 100 people. That's 500 people. That's 700. Like, think about that. This is like a room of people that you normally speak to, JR. Like, you walk in, you see all those people there, and you start to dismiss those people just because of the chase for these other people that exist that you don't even know where they are, but you're trying to reach them. And again, it's what I've sort of had to recalibrate my mindset, is to be like, you know what? However many followers that I have to reach those followers. I have to, that's my audience I currently have. And I have to lean into those people, because those people, as of now, are the ones that hit that like button, that follow button, and have stayed connected to me. And so, you know, again, it's just, I just realize it's easy to fall into that trap, but you got to have people around you that are willing to say, hey, listen, I get it. We want to grow. You want to grow the brand. You want to be able to get more reach. But at the end of the day, don't dismiss the people you already have a connection to, the people that have already invested in you and bought into who you are as a person.
Yes, I'm talking about, preach. Because it's all right. Like, and good thing you have that team of people around you to remind you of just the things that truly matter. Because, like, hey, 100 people, that's still 100 people, man. It's like, shoot, yeah. Some folks probably are lucky even get, like, that many folks to admit that they like something. Because nowadays you got folks out there who like to stalk and be like, I don't like to like posts because they're scary.
I know.
Track me or whatever.
isn't that crazy? Like, I have a couple friends like that. And I'm like, I don't know. Because, you know, these days you keep up with people on social. If you post on social, I know what's going on with your life. If you don't post, I don't know what's going on with it. Because, you know, the odds of us really picking up the phone and texting and calling somebody and checking in, we don't really do those things like that anymore. And so, but I got a couple friends, man, that they're on social. I never see them post anything. It's rare. And then, but man, they are ghost liking everything. They're like over there liking your stuff. You're like, oh, this person is on social, but they just creeping. They don't like to post. But they creeping in the background, liking all your stuff. And you're like, yo, like, and I feel like there was a point in my life where maybe I was that person where I was like, yeah, I don't have anything I feel like I want to share, but I want to be part of the world and I want to keep up with people that I follow and see what's real and what's going on. But it's funny to me how people are quick to like a whole bunch of stuff, but you'll never see them posting anything about themselves.
Yeah, I think years ago, a pastor would call that the Facebook surfers, because he would call himself that. Just be creeping around. Let me see what my members are doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like that, you know, like are you like a, you know, you like the ex that's wondering whatever happened with their life, and you go and start creeping and looking up, what do they do? Are they happy? And you deep down inside, you want to see that they're not, that they're not happy, that they don't look happy, that and it's like, yo, just post a photo or something. Like just posting your stories. Let me know it's not some robot that's, you know, your account's been hacked and just starting to like everything. Like, I don't know. But social media is a funny thing, man. It really is. And you know, and with that, I hope everybody goes and follows me on social media. I am J.R. Martin. No, I'm kidding. Like, I'm over here talking crap about it. And then I'm like, hey, by the way, I am J.R. Martinez. Hit me up. You know, like, you know, I need my follower count to jump, you know, whatever. But it's a funny thing, man. And you really have to understand why you're doing it. And you have to show up authentically and organically. And if you get caught up in this mainstream pipeline of just trying to put content on to go viral and monetize, I mean, yeah, you can end up finding yourself getting away. And it's the same concept of, you know, so when I got into speaking, man, like I wanted to get into speaking when I was in my early 20s. Like I was injured at 19 and I was in the hospital till I was 22. By the time I got out of the hospital at 22, I already knew that I wanted to be a speaker. Like, this is cool. I enjoy this. I think I have a gift to be able to do it. And I started to venture out into the world at 22, 23, 24. And I just got a lot of rejection, a lot of people that didn't really understand what I could bring to the table. And that was difficult for me. So, you know, again, other opportunities presented themselves that, you know, my life needed to take a different segue, a path. And so finally, I get to a point where I'm starting to, you know, reach people and speak and do all this stuff. And, you know, what happened was, is in the midst of me doing all these events, and now people throwing a lot of money at me to come and speak, and I'm getting all this acknowledgement because, you know, I'm pretty good at what I do. And all of a sudden now I found myself chasing that. I found myself chasing the money, chasing the acknowledgement. And I'm not a dude that really needs acknowledgement. Like, I actually kind of feel uncomfortable with it. Like, before I go on stage, we created like this video just because sometimes people that read bios, it's ugh, like you shouldn't be reading the bio or you shouldn't be like doing the introduction. Because when I take the stage, man, I need like a promoter, I need like a hype person, I need someone to bring it up. Like, let's go, kind of like what you did, right? Like, let's go, my man, Drake, whatever. And so we created the video because we were like, maybe people can just cue a video and that'll keep the energy up, and then I'll take the stage. But man, that video plays and it's only 90 seconds. I think it's about 90 seconds. That's it. And it plays and it's just a montage of my life and photos and videos and clips. And I watch it. Sometimes I get uncomfortable. I'm like, yo, just finish already. Because it's kind of like this, it makes me feel odd. Like I'm standing there and like people, and I'm like, look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that big oversized screen and look at all the things that I've done and accomplished. And it makes me feel a little uncomfortable. And you know, there's different ways to look at that, right? But I'm not a dude that needs acknowledgement. And but yet I found myself getting sucked into this world where I was like, yeah, acknowledge me because I'm good at what I do. And I like hearing people rave about how good I am. And I got away from the reason I got into this space in the very first place. And the reason I got into the speaking world, man, was because I really loved actually connecting with people. I love sharing. It was my way of serving. I mean, like your pops who served in the military. Military introduced something to me that I never knew about, and that was this concept of service. And I love that concept, and I wanted to always operate from that place. And social media is the same thing. No matter why you got into social media and create an account, maybe you want to be inspiring, maybe you want to be a comedian and be funny, maybe you want to be just someone that constantly introduces people to different whatever the thing is. Or maybe you're doing makeup and you want, like, hey, I just want to get my products out there, or I just want to let people know some good products that I use, or whatever your thing is. But then what happens is over time, you get sucked into that machine and the pressure of like, yo, I gotta have X amount of people. I gotta create content every single day. I gotta upload. I gotta look at the analytics and make sure that I'm uploading between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. because that's when my audience is hot. You know, like you start doing all that, and before you know it, like you lose the passion. You start operating from a place where you can authentically be who you are. And that's when you're gonna drive yourself deeper into a hole because people sense that stuff, man. It's the same thing of, I tell people all the time, and I learned this when I first started speaking. You stand up in front of a group of people, They could tell when you're faking it. People aren't dumb. An audience is smart. They're like, yeah, okay, this person, they're trying to tell me this, but I don't know if I believe it. Like, I mean, you can sense it. And the same goes for followers on social media. Even though there's no physical connection and physical sharing of space, people are able to sense like this is authentically JR. This isn't who JR is. Like, or this sounds more like someone else is running this thing. And so you got to find ways to create balance and still show up authentically and still operate from that place. And I think that's the trick for social media. I don't know how the hell we started talking about social media so damn much, but it's like I'm not even a social media expert, and yet I'm sitting here talking about social media like I am. Like, clearly I'm not. Trust me, look at my accounts. I'm not.
Hey man, you got great followers, man. 50K plus Instagram, 361K on
Man, you
Facebook.
know
So
what?
hey.
You know what? Instagram is so funny because this is, again, I've been at 31, I got 31,900 and like 80 something followers. I'm like, I'm not OCD. I think I have a little bit of OCD in me. Like, I remember as a kid, I would like count things. I still do it now. So I'm gonna give people a little insight into JR. This is stuff I normally don't talk about, but like, so in my office right now, if like, and I do this often because I'm on a couch, and so sometimes I'll come and I'll sit on the couch or I'll lay on the couch and I'll listen to something or I'm like thoughts or whatever, and I look up in the ceiling and I see I have these six lights, right? And so I'm like, all right, three, six. Now I have a vent that has two slits, so I'm like, that's eight. But then there's a smoke detector by itself, so I'm like, that's nine. And then there's another vent where all the air comes in through, so that has three slits, so that's nine, 12. And then I look at the ceiling fan. The ceiling fan has how many? Okay, one, two, 15. Oh, okay, cool, 15. All right, cool. That's a good number. Now, if that ended on 14 or 16, an even number, oh, you should see what happens in my brain where I'm starting to find ways to make it an odd number where I'm like 14. Okay, yeah, but if you add all of this together, that's one. Boom, I got 15. If it was 16, if you add all of this together, that's one. 17, you're good. I'm good now. I can move on with my day. When I was a kid, I would sometimes have to like hit the light switch X amount of times, and it would have to be on an odd number. When I would walk, I would have to like take X amount of steps before, like if I was walking on like a tile, or like a ground or floor ground or something where it had like a sidewalk, before I got to another texture of the house or the outside wherever I was walking, I had to take X amount of steps, and it had to end on odd numbers. So I mean, I think I have a little bit of OCD, but my mom being from Central America, there was no like you go to the doctor to get diagnosed with OCD. You just stop hitting the damn switch, or like stop hitting the light switch so many times. That's what my mom would say. Like, what are you doing? Like, stop doing that. And I'm like, well, it's because it has to end on an odd number. What are you talking about, an odd number? She's like, my mom was like, she didn't understand any of that. And but I think about that now. Like, I'm still like that now. And so, I have this 31,900 and I'm stuck on it, and it bothers me because I'm like, yo, just make it 32. I'm about to create however many accounts I need just so I can get to 32, just so it looks clean and even, because this whole 31,900 thing is bugging the shit out of me, man. Like, it's so funny. So right now, I'm gonna go into my social right now. While like I'm gonna go into Instagram specifically because that's the one. So I'm at 31,987. I'm about to create 13 fake accounts just so I could get to 32,000 and make it even. That's the shit that goes on in my head, man. Like, that's what I think about. I don't think about like, is this piece of content gone viral? See, funny how this works, right? So on Facebook, I have 392,347. There's no pressure for me to get that to 393, right? Because I'm like, all right. But when you're that close to something, you're like, yo, just give me the 13 followers. Instagram, create something fake. Give me bots. I don't care. I'll take bots. Whatever. Just make it 32. It's driving me nuts right now.
Guess cashews and almonds, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Hell yeah. So it's crazy, man. Like, it's wild. But I mean, also, I mean, social media is, man, I actually, So my dad wasn't in my life. My dad left when I was 9 months old, and my mother raised me by herself. And you know, for my youth, man, all I did was wanted my dad to be in the picture. I was like, man, and you know, you go down those that path of like, I'm not good enough, he doesn't want me, you know, you start doing all that. And you know, I had to unlearn that, because I would just assume that it was just me. I was a problem. There was a problem with me. And I struggled in my youth, you know, wanting his presence. And because I would look around at my peers, and whether their fathers or their uncles, you know, the men in their life, whether they were really like present or they were just there, didn't matter to me. I just saw men there, right? And they had men in their lives. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted to have my dad, and I just wanted to have like a male presence in my life. When my uncles came around, I'd be like, yeah, my uncle's here. Uncle, can we go play? You know, can we throw the football around? Can we kick a soccer ball around? Can we like go play basketball? Can we do stuff? You know, like my uncle, I remember when I was a kid, man, I was like, you know, 6 years old. My uncle, this dude loves his scratch off lotto tickets. And we used to take walks on Sunday, and we used to go to the store, and he would get his scratch offs, and then he'd get me an icy, and I'd get this big ass icy, like this cherry flavor icy. And then we'd walk back, and then we'd stop at this park, and we'd sit under this tree, and he was sitting there scratching, you know. And then he'd be like, you want to scratch? And I'm like, yeah, I'm scratching. I'm trying to match up numbers and see if we, you know, instantly become millionaires. And I'm sitting there slurping down my IC. And I was like, man, when I think of those, that time, like those are such beautiful memories that I have. Those are the best memories that I have. It's just so how simple it is, because it wasn't my uncle. My uncle wasn't just there. He was actually present. He was actually engaged with me. And that's all kids really want, is to have someone really engage with them. So I wanted my dad in my life so badly. Even though I had my mom was great. Like, I still wanted my dad. And, you know, never got a chance to meet him in my youth. And I met him when I was 36 years old. And it was wild, man, because my dad, turns out my dad is in Mexico, because that's where he's from. And he's living in Mexico. So I go down to Mexico, and it's wild, like the way he lives. He's pretty much homeless. He's a broken man. And of course, you ask all the questions like, man, where'd you go? You know, what happened? What happened? You got lost? What happened? And he starts, you know, man, I just forgot about you. Like, you know, I'm sorry. You know, and there's other kids that he forgot about, all this stuff. And I told him, I said, you know, you don't realize how you raised me to be a great father. Like, you actually did teach me how to be a great father. And he was like, how's that? And I was like, man, well, you taught me what not to do. And the biggest thing you don't do is you don't run away when things are confusing or things seem hard. Like, you lean in. And I do that with my kids, man. I mean, my daughter's the oldest. My son is still young right now. But, you know, with my daughter, man, I can't tell you how many times, like, things I mess up, you know, things don't make sense. But I go to her and I'm like, hey, my bad. I'm sorry. Let's talk about it. I want to explain to you where I was coming from. And I think that's important, to be able to have those type of conversations with your kids, because they look at you as their heroes, and you're the adult and you're everything. But the point is, you know, I was able to connect with my dad through Facebook. This man started reaching out to me. Some friend of my dad's that he worked with started reaching out to me on Facebook and like, hey, I think your dad is my friend. He keeps talking about, you know, you and the things you've done. And I looked it up and I think it's you. And I remember the first time I saw this message, I was like, nah, I'm not ready. Nah. Plus I was like, man, listen, you know, I also was like, listen, I don't want to be like part of no like little scam, you know, where I end up taking my ass down to Mexico, getting kidnapped. And then, mm-hmm. and they're thinking that everyone's going to be like, hey, we'll give JR back to you for this lump sum. You realize the people I kick it with, they ain't got that money. Nobody got money. I'm kicking it with everyday ordinary people. Like, nobody gonna give you all that money for me. Like, you know, you're gonna realize real quickly that you don't want nothing to do with me. You're gonna be like, send that dude back. Like, but eventually this man kept reaching out, and finally I was like, man, and I realized what it was. I emotionally wasn't ready. And then finally I responded, and I was like, and then, you know, we connected, and I had to like give him quizzes and be like, and he put my dad on the phone. I quizzed him about things that you can't Google about me. And he knew all the stuff. He knew my family in El Salvador, because that's where my mother's from. He knew all this stuff. And I was like, all right, this sounds legit. And then he sent me a picture of him, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's that. That looks a little bit like me. Yep, I can see that. And so I went and met the dude, man. But social media once again allowed me to connect with this man, and it's pretty incredible the power that it has, man. But I think at the end of the day, what I'm always rooted in is I love connection. I love conversating. I love dialogue, and I love, you know, listening to people, because people, my father-in-law, who was 27 years NYPD law enforcement, he said, if you act dumb, people will tell you everything. And I'm like, I get you. That's like that New York way of looking at things, and a 27-year cop, you know, interrogating, looking at things. But I understand what he's saying. Like, if you just sit down and listen, people will tell you everything. And that's all people want, is they want to feel like people care enough to listen and to ask the question and put themselves in the space. And I'm no different, man. Listen, my success and where I am today is all attributed to my best friend finally sitting down listening to me when no one else would. And that turned my life around. It really did, because I was on a path where I was drinking, I was reckless, I was angry, I wasn't happy because of, you know, what was happening with my life. And it turned it around just because one person decided to lean in and say, hey, man, let's talk about this. What's really going on?
Yes, I'm talking about indeed. Yeah, because, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, they had to encourage you to actually shed some tears to get the pain out of you, right?
Yeah. So that was the thing, is like, man, this is why I have a lot of compassion. And, you know, I see somebody in public and, you know, someone's short or someone's a little, you know, acting a little snippy with you, you know, or with somebody else, or, you know, and I always kind of give that person compassion, because I'm like, man, you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what happened to them. You don't know what's happening to them. Like, you just don't know. And unfortunately, that person doesn't have the tools or the awareness right now to understand that they're displacing this on everybody they encounter. And it's not everybody else's fault, because I was that kid, or I was that person, all right? Like, I mean, I was a kid, but I was that person doing that. I was walking around and I was angry. Now, mind you, I'd put a front on in front of people. I'd be like, yes, hello. Yes, JR, hi, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. But then I'd go back to my house and I'd just be like mad and angry and upset and bitter and resentful. And then I'd go out in public and people I interacted with, and I just took it out on people. But then if I found myself in a certain place, hi, da-da, da-da, da-da. And it's just that cycle. And, you know, and my friend one day was like, man, like, I was in a car with him and a few other people, and somebody made a comment about something. It wasn't even like, nobody was being mean. It was just, we were all just, honestly just clowning. And somebody made a comment, and I snapped at that person and just kind of was snarky. And my boy, who was driving the car, said, yo, chill. And I was like, nah, man, you don't tell me to chill. And so I'm in the back of the car, like literally the third row. And I'm like, I want to fight this dude. And he's like, you want to fight? And I'm like, yeah. And he pulls the car over. And so literally he pulls the car over, and I start trying to get out of the back seat of this car. And people are like, you know, in the second row and the third row, no, JR, no, 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 no. And dude, I was like so mad and so blacked out that I got out of the car. And when I started walking around to the driver's side, he got back in the car and locked the door, and he wouldn't open the door, and I was mad. And so what I did was I took my shirt off and I wrapped it around my hand. I started punching the window because I wanted to break the glass. Like, I was like that mad, that gone. And of course I couldn't break the window, so I got humbled. And so I got my sorry ass back into the car, and with this look of like disappointment, failure, because I couldn't break a window, and I was acting like I was so tough and I couldn't do it. And it's funny, because like, I had blacked out where I was like, I want to fight, but I wasn't blacked out enough, because I definitely knew that I ain't punching this window with my bare hand, and I gotta wrap it in something to soften that blow. I had that wherewithal.
Yeah.
But when I got back in the car, as you can imagine, man, it was like so quiet, like nobody was speaking. It was just like, what the hell? And I was just still so mad, and I didn't know why I was mad. And we get back to the hotel, because we were traveling. We get back to the hotel, and everyone gets out and starts to walk in. And my boy says to me, he says, hey, man, sit, get in the car, sit in the passenger seat. I just try to fight this dude. Like, and yet all he can tell me is sit in the car. Let's talk. And he was like, yo, you need to cry. And I was like, I don't need to cry. He's like, yes, you do. And I was like, no, I don't. I'm 24 at the time. I was like, I don't need to cry. What do I need to cry about? He's like, man, you've healed physically. You have not healed emotionally or mentally. You need to cry, man. I was like, man, I don't need to cry about anything. And literally, like, all of a sudden, I just started crying. And I didn't realize that I was carrying all this stuff around, like stuff that was not only related to my injury in Iraq and the military, but stuff in my youth, man, that I was carrying around for 19 years of my life prior to joining the military. My mom did the best she could. My mom didn't have all the tools, but also the environments that I grew up in. I mean, there was a lot of challenges. And I just realized, like, but let me tell you the power of that moment, man. So that power of that moment was every time he and I would have a conversation, he would always end it with, I love you. Yeah, man. So listen, like, that was the moment where my life really turned a corner, because I felt like somebody actually, like, saw me and listened to me, not heard me, listened to me. And that was all I needed. I just needed to feel like people cared. And that's why I like people in my life, that when things get really heavy and uncomfortable in their life, man, I know that, I feel that, but I just show up, bro. Like, I just show up. I don't have to sit here and spend all this time thinking about, what am I going to say? Am I going to say the right things? Like, no, I just show up. And it's uncomfortable at first, but you realize that's all those people need, is for you to just show up. Because remember the space that, you know, whatever point in your life, all you wanted was someone just to be there. And that was a turning point in my life, man. It really was. And that's why now I try so hard to always just show up in the best way that I can, whether it's somebody that I just met, like yourself, or it's somebody that I've known for years or months. Whenever I interact with someone, I always try to show up as my best self, because I know that, you know, I potentially can help that person in that particular point in their life.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Well, two fun questions for it. I'll let you make a run for my man. So I know my man's got a wonderful book out there. That's a New York Times bestseller that was, man, published, I can't believe, 12 years ago when folks thought the world was going to end. The wonderful book called Full of Heart, My Story of Survival, Strength, and Spirit. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, damn, that's a different question. If it was a food, what would it be and why? Lasagna. And let me tell you why. Lasagna has all these layers to it. And as you sort of, you know, you cut into it, you fork into it, spoon into it, or you hand, whatever you do, however you eat. Some people might grab it with the hands. I don't know how people eat. But when you cut into that lasagna, there's like different layers of different things you're experiencing. Every bite, there's different things you're experiencing. And my book is, there's so many layers to it. And there's so many, at those different stages, those different layers, there's so much richness from those experiences. And, you know, each phase of my life, you experience something completely different. So, plus, I just love Italian food. So, naturally, I was going to go there. And lasagna is like my thing. And plus, I feel like lasagna, when I eat it, it fills me. Like, I feel full. And I'm like, yeah, I ate. Now I can, you could drop me in the middle of somewhere and I can survive for 2 weeks because I have lasagna in me. And it's just, I can survive off of that now. And I feel like when you read my book, I feel like people get that same feeling where it's like, I feel full emotionally, spiritually, mentally. I feel full. And I guess that's why we called it Full of Heart.
There you go. All the layers upon layers. That's right. And a layer on top of another layer.
I'm telling you, it's like I live in Austin now, and I feel like that's kind of like the weather in Austin. It's like you live by layers, man. Like, literally, like I saw a meme the other day say, pray for us Texans. And it's because the weather, because like one moment it's like 79 degrees and the other moment it's like 40. And you're like, I don't know what to wear anymore. So pray for us. Layers is the key, my friends. Layers.
Most folks, when they think of Texas, they just think of the heat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. People don't realize it gets cold as hell here. We moved here from New York, and man, when we moved here, we got rid of our, you know, our winter coats, and thinking like, ah, shit, that first winter, I was at the bus stop at 6 o'clock in the morning, dropping my daughter off on the bus, and it was dark and cold as hell. And I'm out there shaking like, what the hell is going on? This is Texas, for God's sakes. And not Dallas, not North Texas. I'm in Austin. Like, I'm closer to tropical weather than anything. Like, why is it so damn cold? It's wild, man. So now, trust me, we live in Austin, but we got bubbles. We got bubble coats. We're not messing around now. We're not gonna get caught off guard anymore.
Yeah, exactly. They sold man a bill of goods, like, yep. You thought you escaped the winter.
Exactly. Exactly. Shoot. And then we had these crazy couple years where there was like storms where it knocked off power, and not only power, but heat. You couldn't cook. You couldn't warm up your home. You didn't have water. Pipes were frozen. Man, I never thought when we bought our house and we were like, oh yeah, let's get a house with a pool. That's nice, right? I never thought how that pool would come in handy when you don't have water. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean drinking it. I mean using that pool water to flush your shit down the toilet. That's what I'm talking about. Like, it's wild. I'm like, yo, this never happened in all the years I lived in New York. Why am I sitting here having to use my pool water to flush my shit down the toilet? Like, why am I sitting here having, like, dude, I'm like starting fires. Like, I'm like the old school, like trying to start fires, like, you know, the military. Like, how do you start a fire? Like, if I was on a, what's that show?
Survivor.
Oh, well, Survivor 2, but there what's no, it's a more intense version. It's the show where they drop these people in the middle of like whatever, and you can only take what you could pick one item to take with you, and they give you like all these tools and things. Oh my God, what's the name of that damn show? It's intense. If you've never seen it, I'm gonna look it up real quick just because that's just the way my mind works, and I gotta do it right now. Alone.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, Alone. Yeah, so you get dropped off somewhere, and how you win is you have all these different competitors that get dropped off in different places, and the last person that doesn't tap out is the winner. So you see these people, like, and all you could take is like a backpack and one item, like that's it, and you got to survive. Shit. I mean, that's I feel like I can go on that show now just because of the types of winters we've had to experience here in Texas. Anyways, sorry, my little rants. Sometimes I tell my team, I was like, sometimes I feel like I should just do like a YouTube channel. Well, I do have a YouTube channel, but just do videos where I just like rant about random ass stuff like this. Because this is the stuff people don't know about. Like the stuff that I get in, I don't know why I feel so comfortable to start rapping about this with you, but you probably like, dude, I don't want you to talk about this. Why are you talking about using pool water to flush your shit down the toilet? But I mean, that's how my brain works, man.
That's freaking hilarious.
I'm a mess, man. I'm a mess.
Hey, it's all good, man. Still blessed in spite of the mess indeed. So we're coming down to the magical question every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you don't wake up tomorrow when you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Ooh. I would probably say, stay true to who you are. 25 today. You think about, we spent 50 minutes, I don't know how long, probably too long, talking about social media and the pressures of that. And I think it'd be very difficult for a younger person, I think, to live in this world when you have all these pressures of you need to look like this, you need to dress like this, you need to have this, you need to post this, you need to, you know, there's a lot of pressures and a lot of comparison that happens, and constantly comparing your life, you know, scaling it to other people's lives. And I think for me, it would be about, hey man, stay true to who you are. Like, be intentional about the way you live, operate from who you are and always operate from that place. Like, you will be rewarded for that. And don't get sucked into trying to be something you're not. You know, we try so hard to be accepted by other people. And I did it for so long. I tried so hard to be accepted by people because I just yearned to have community and to be a part of something. And what I did is I found myself, from a monetary standpoint, financially trying to like do things and pay for this and take care of that. And that didn't get me anything. And I started flaunting. I started like posing in many ways. And yeah, just to be accepted by a group of people. But at the end of the day, I didn't have real connection. That wasn't the way to have real connection. So I feel like once I started changing and realizing like, nah, man, like I've spent a lot of money, man. I've spent a lot of money on hanging out with a bunch of people and those people aren't in my life today. And so that just tells you like, it was just silly, but I was getting sucked into that. I got sucked into that cycle. And so now I'm just like, nah, I'm going to be me. I'm going to operate from my truth and whoever rocks with it, rocks with it. And hopefully be a good life after that.
Amen to that. Amen to that. That's right. So the good news is my man GR has been dropping the heat today, y'all. And folks only got 1.5% of it. So for those who need to dive into the other 98.5% of what the good old JR has to offer and keep up with your journey, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Hey, help me get to 32,000 on Instagram. Just hit me up on Instagram. Honestly, like that's the biggest way. I encourage people to come hit me up on social. I am JR Martinez. It just... Listen, man, just be part of my world and, you know, and hopefully let's connect and let's chat it up. And then I hopefully I could be part of your world and, you know, just create connection, even if it is through a social media platform. But I need 13 people. I need 13 people, Dom, just so that way my OCD can just chill. I need 13 people to get me to 32. So that way I'm not sitting at 31.9 forever. Can we get 13 people? That's it. You know, listen, I have someone on my team that she looks after the social too. And so she's always in my ear about, hey, I need you to do this. Hey, do this, whatever. And the one thing she's always like, listen, stay true to you. Right. She's always telling me that. But I think when she sees this, she's going to be like, oh, my God, you are out there telling people to help you get to 32,000. No, that's not how you grow on social media. She's going to be in my ear about this. But I'm like, hey, I was just joking.
No. Well, you heard my man, be part of the lucky 13 and help him get to 32 G's if you ain't there by the time you hear this. Indeed, y'all, that's right, indeed. And keep up with his journey and cop some copies of his magical book, y'all, that's right, indeed. Who knows, he might have something else in store for you for the future. So any parting words before we close up shop, JR?
Hey man, just show up for yourself, show up for other people around you. And stop overthinking it, because when you spend so much time overthinking it, you don't even show up. And you have everything that you need in this moment to be able to show up. So don't waste it.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.